It's May. What's happening in the natural world? Here are Boulder naturalist Steve Jones and Scott Sievers.
The moon is still out. The sun is just about to come up. We're back at Coot Lake, and this time we're looking for song sparrows, one of the most beautiful and robust sparrows in North America. They have long rufous tails and rufous striking on their breasts. They're plump birds, and they live in wetland areas, and they're aptly named because they're one of the most creative singers of our songbirds.
Song sparrows really like these big willow thickets, especially in marshes. I hear a song sparrow, just their little beck note that they make. It's kind of a little beck that they use. This is a contact note. Pointing to this a strand of more sandbar willows and the song sparrow calling back there.
That's the first one we've heard, the first song sparrow. It's a very complex song. It has some introductory chip notes, and it sort of goes da-da-da-da-da-da, sort of like Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. There it is over there. And then it's followed by a number of trills and chips. The cool thing about song sparrows is each territorial male can sing anywhere from 6 to 10 songs, and each song is distinct. If you listen long enough, you can hear different songs.
Single note chip.
Oh, he just gave the first chip notes and then he didn't say anything else. I'm going to play one here on my phone very softly. We don't want to distract the song sparrows, but I'll just play this fairly softly. You'll get an idea of the song. Isn't that amazing? Here's another one. It's so complex, we can barely hear all the complexity. Here's one more. And you notice that third one was totally different from the first two. So it turns out that the song sparrows who have the most songs, the biggest song repertoire, get most of the copulations. The females are listening. They're just hanging out and they're listening to the different males. And when they hear a male that has a really robust repertoire of 8 or 9 songs or whatever, and his songs are really good, then she's attracted to him. And it also turns out that males with overlapping territories have different sets of songs. I mean, they share some songs, but then they have songs they don't share. And then all over North America, song sparrows have different accents. In California, they sound different than the ones in Colorado. And you could probably, if you recorded all their songs, you could probably tell exactly where an individual song sparrow lived by its repertoire and its accents. I don't know why they don't sing all the songs of all their neighbors, though. That's a little confusing.
It's probably related to its complexity, wouldn't you think, Steve?
Yeah, and as Scott said, maybe it sounds more complex to them. And the more complex the song they can sing, probably they think they have the better chance of attracting a mate. You know, when I teach my bird singing class, more women take these classes than men. And I always ask them at the start of the class which classical singer they prefer, Luciano Pavarotti. Or Andrea Bocelli. Almost all of them say Andrea Bocelli. And you know, as beautiful as his voice is, and I love his singing, he couldn't get opera parts in Italy. He didn't have a strong enough voice to sing in the major operas, whereas Pavarotti was one of the great opera singers of all time. So the question is, what is the quality of Andrea Bocelli's singing that's attractive to women? And how does that relate to song sparrows and other songbirds? And I think with sparrows and songbirds, we don't know what it is. We can only guess. But certainly the variety of the repertoire is something we've identified. So if a male song sparrow can sing more songs, he's more likely to attract mates.
Definitely.
But there may be some of that vulnerability that Andrea Bocelli has, that some song sparrow males may have that vulnerability sound and it attracts females. I kind of doubt it, but you never know.
Steve Jones is co-author of Wild Boulder County. Scott Sievers is a wildlife biologist.